There were still three other empty places at the table. Bond moved inside the rail to where a huissier was holding out his chair. He sat down with a nod to the players on his right and left. He took out his wide gunmetal cigarette case and his black lighter and placed them on the green baize at his right elbow. The huissier wiped a thick glass ashtray with a cloth and put it beside them. Bond lit a cigarette and leant back in his chair. Opposite him, the banker's chair was vacant. He glanced round the table. He knew most of the players by sight, but few of their names. At number 7, on his right, there was a Monsieur Sixt, a wealthy Belgian with metal interests in the Congo. At number 9 there was Lord Danvers, a distinguished but weak-looking man whose francs were presumably provided by his rich American wife, a middle-aged woman with a predatory mouth of a barracuda, who sat at number 3. Bond reflected that they would probably play a porky and nervous game and be amongst the early casualties. At number 1, to the right of the bank, was a well-known Greek gambler who owned, as in Bond's experience apparently everyone does in the Eastern Mediterranean, a profitable shipping line. He would play coldly and well, and would be a stayer. Bond asked the huissier for a card and wrote on it, under a neat question mark, the remaining numbers, 2, 4, 5, 8, 10, and asked the huissier to give it to the chef de partie. Soon it came back with the names filled in. Number 2, still empty, was to be Carmel Delane, the American film star with alimony from 3 husbands to burn, and Bond assumed a call on still more from whoever her present companion at Royale might be. With her sanguine temperament, she would play gaily and with panache, and might run into a vein of luck. Then came Lady Danvers at number 3, and numbers 4 and 5 were a Mr. and Mrs. DuPont, rich-looking and might or might not have some of the real DuPont money behind them. Bond guessed they would be stayers. They both had a business-like look about them, and were talking together easily and cheerfully, as if they felt very much at home at the big game. Bond was quite happy to have them next to him. Mrs. DuPont sat at number 5, and he felt prepared to share with them, or with Monsieur Sixt on his right, if they found themselves faced with too big a bank. At number 8 was the Maharaja of a small Indian state, probably with all his wartime sterling balances to play with. Bond's experience told him that few of the Asiatic races were courageous gamblers, even the much-vaunted Chinese being inclined to lose heart if the going was bad. But the Maharaja would probably stay in the game and stand some heavy losses if they were gradual. Number 10 was a prosperous-looking young Italian, Signor Tomelli, who possibly had plenty of money from rack rents in Milan, and would probably play a dashing and foolish game. He might lose his temper and make a scene. Bond had just finished his sketchy summing up of the players when Le Chiffre, with the silence and economy of movement of a big fish, came through the opening in the brass rail and, with a cold smile of welcome for the table, took his place directly opposite Bond in the banker's chair.